Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mike doesn't trust me anymore because I like ask him questions and then he immediately just mutes the microphone so that I can't even speak to him.
It's the Q&A show with Mike and Joe.
Off the post. Look at your mailbox because there is post in it. And that post says, Blues Clues.
Joe, do you know who the first Postmaster General of the United States was?
I don't. I feel like I should know this, though.
It was Benjamin Franklin.
I was going to say Benjamin Franklin, actually. Actually, my first answer was Herbert Hoover.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
And then I was like, no, that can't be right. So then I
hope you cry when you look at yourself and you shave.
Benjamin Franklin. Well, I will if you keep making me feel bad about myself. I listened back to last week's episodes, and you were nothing but mean to me the entire time. It was sad to listen to.
You antagonized me.
I didn't antagonize you. You just lashed out and attacked me like some type of monster.
You and I are two billy goats on a mountain just smacking horns against each other. That's all we are.
Now I'm naming this show Herbert Hoover. Anyway, hello, ladies and gentlemen. I am Joe Fortunato. I am joined by Mike Murphy. And this is Off the Post, where we answer your questions about the New York Rangers. And holy fuck, do you guys have a lot of questions this week? I don't know why. I feel like nothing happened. We had like five topics to talk about in the flagship show, and you guys come in like a goddamn tsunami, and you just blow it out of the water. So thank you. We appreciate the support. The flagship shows have been the most listened to shows that – or not the flagship. I'm sorry. The Off the Post shows have been the most listened to shows that we have done. So – yeah, we're glad you're liking it. We're liking it. Penises all around. M. D'Alessio 22. Can you take a crack at what you think the 2019-2020 opening lineup will be? I don't know if we could really do that because there's still too many questions. But I'll do it this way. Mike, name two players that you don't think will be on the team next year that are on the team right now.
Two who I don't think will be here?
Right, they're not going to be there next year, but they're there right now.
It's tough.
I'm going to say Jesper Fast.
Ooh.
And I'm going to say Brendan Smith.
I was going to say Brendan Smith, and I'm going to say I feel like Vlad's going to stick around now.
I kind of feel like Vlad is going to stick around until the trade deadline.
Yeah, because he's
getting a sense that that's happening.
Yeah, he's definitely been helping his own.
M. D'Alessio also wants to know, what year will Keandre Miller come join the team full-time? I don't think it's going to be this year. I think it's going to be next year. By the way, Maggie has a beautiful singing voice that everybody just heard.
Oh, yeah.
A comment do you have about Keandre Miller before she serenaded us with her siren song?
Let's see. Keandre, it's really, really a shame how that ended for him. And
he didn't even play in the playoffs. Yeah, and they lost.
But you know what? In my head, like while that was happening, I was just like, this is the right decision not to rush this kid on the ice. And I'm glad that's what Granato did. He didn't rush, you know, his star freshman defenseman back on the ice. But I feel like he, given how recently he transitioned to D, he's gonna wanna have more seasons. More seasoning, don't you think? Like,
yeah, I can't imagine he's going to want to make the jump to the NHL. Remember, he's only 3 years into into his position, period, which is astounding considering how good he's been. So
yeah, that would be even if he goes straight, like even if he does a full year in the AHL, that's still asking a lot of a kid.
It is. And there's no reason for him to go.
Position is a lot.
There's no reason to go to the AHL. And at this point, and I think this speaks volumes about the Rangers farm system. I think the Rangers don't want high end prospects going to the AHL. I don't think they want Vitali Kravtsov anywhere near the AHL this year. That's why I think that he hasn't been signed to an ATO. So, there's that. JG. Just two letters. That's all it is. Steelers, Yankees, Knicks, and Rangers fan. That's an interesting mix. Thoughts on Brendan Lemieux? Tell you what, better than any expectation I had.
Yeah, he's definitely exceeded my expectations. I knew he would
be a quality hockey player.
I knew he'd be a shit stirrer. I knew he would be a guy who chirps and, you know, plays that Sean Avery style game. But I've been paying a lot of attention just in what sort of hockey he plays. And really, he's just a straight line, go hard to the net guy. And you know what? Those guys can be valuable. The big question, I think, moving forward is, can he generate offense? Because if he can generate his own offense, it suddenly becomes a question of, is he more than a third line winger? And really, the truth is here, if all the Rangers got back is a third line winger who's an agent provocateur, who draws a lot of penalties in that trade and the first round pick, it's still a really good return for Hayes. And looking at what Lemieux can be, I hope maybe there's more to his game. I don't think there is, and honestly, that's fine. It's really fine, Joe.
Like, if he's a third line winger, it's fine. If he puts 35 points up and he does all the other things that we've talked about that we've liked to see, whatever it may or may not be, I think that's at the Rangers' win in that regard. Felipe Ghostine. I think Quinn is a great coach. I love his personality, his openness, and I really think he is the real deal. But to bench Tony DeAngelo, are you serious? According to me, he's been the Rangers' best D-man this year, and especially the last 15 to 20 games. What do you guys think? We kind of talked about this. Actually, I think we talked about it pretty much at length on the flagship show. But it appears that there was an off-the-ice issue makes it sound worse than it was. Something happened. It could have been he didn't give it all in his practice or something else, but something happened, and it doesn't seem like it's a talent decision. He has a second question, though. He said, Since the trade deadline, it's frustrating. I don't root for them to lose, but I kind of do. But that's not fun. Do you know what I mean? I just want the draft and June 1st to be here. So that's actually probably an interesting thing that a lot of people are feeling, because there has been this kind of back and forth contingent of people who openly want the New York Rangers to lose. And I think I kind of sit on that bandwagon right now. Like, I want the team to play well, but the points are hurtful at this point. Yeah. And that's totally fine. You're allowed to feel that way. You're also allowed to think that the Rangers should win every game. I'm not here to tell you how to feel, like how to root for the team. So it is the Rangers are in a weird situation. They were kind of in this situation last year. But the team is, the Rangers are doing better than I thought they were going to. For the sell-off, for where they are right now, I did not expect them to be, I mean, I certainly expected them to be near the bottom. I expected them to be much closer to the bottom than they are right now.
I mean, they just snapped a 6-game losing streak. I mean, they're a bad hockey team, but I feel like I touched on this in the survival guide I did for the trade deadline. And like I feel like I summed it up relatively well when I said most of us want this team to play entertaining hockey where we get to see the kids get an opportunity, but they ultimately lose. But they lose in a fun way. And like to me, that is like a 6-4 game against the Capitals where the offense is like almost keeping up with Washington. And it's fun, and it's trading goals, but at the end of the day, they don't get any points out of a game, and they lose. And what we're getting more of is all these one-goal games, all these overtime and shootout losses. The Rangers are one of three teams that have 12 of those worthless points for teams who want to be in the lottery. And that does suck, and I understand the frustration as a Rangers fan to look at that and say, you know, why can't this team do losing right? Like, they can't win right. We've learned that under Alain Vigneault and Tortorella, but they can't lose right either. But it's important to remember that's not what the objective is here. The objective under David Quinn is to develop this team, to teach it to learn how to win games. And that's why I think it's going to be you know, they're going to just be, I feel like, more or less a 500 hockey team until, you know, the end of the season. And it's a lot of those wins they're going to have are going to feel like, you know, they didn't deserve a win. A bunch of those points they pick up are going to be those worthless points outside of those regulation or overtime wins. They're going to be those shootout losses, those overtime losses.
And stupid that's just, points. Points
yeah, they don't need. You know what? And, like, it's so funny how that has just come to be this thing that's just haunted this team, right, Joe? It's just they can't escape those points. They keep getting them.
Especially with Quinn at the helm, you can't ask them to turn it off. No, you can't ask Lundqvist to turn it off, and that's really what it's come down to. Is the New
really
Rangers,
and
they can't
and
get out of their own way.
Yeah, that like
yeah, Georgiev too. Absolutely,
I was thinking about credit. I was thinking about what to talk to Lowtide on the radio on TSN, and the big thing I took away from this team right now because I was just trying to think of bullet points and like at the end of the day, this team still has great goaltending, like well above average goaltending, and that keeps them in games. But the thing is, you can't expect Henrik Lundqvist to be not Henrik Lundqvist, and you can only feel great about Georgiev being as good as he's been. You have to feel good about it, because they need to find answers moving forward beyond Lundqvist's tenure, and what happens with this team the next few years. And, you know, it's great, really. I feel like Quinn and the Rangers and Lundqvist all deserve a lot of credit for how much of a timeshare it's been in the goal crease, and that hasn't been talked about enough, but it's great. It's really great to see that happen, because if Georgiev was a piece of crap in terms of his play, like the way he plays, this team would be a lot of points, you know, shy of where they are now in the standings. But he's been outstanding. He's stolen points for them, and that can be frustrating. But it's also great to see that the Rangers found someone like him as an undrafted guy they signed.
I agree. It's hurt them, but it's also been like a very good thing for them.
We can't pretend it doesn't hurt them, right?
No, but it's also a good thing. Picture, it's not a bad thing. It is a bad thing, but it's also a good thing.
Yeah.
Shane Mooney. Shane Mooney. Just money with two O's. With a smaller sample, if you could lock up Tony DeAngelo long-term for $3 to $4 million a year, would you do it? Same question for Pionk, but less term / cash. I would at this point, if you told me I could get DeAngelo for 5 years, $15 million, I would think about it. I do think there's something to be said for the risk factor of like his personality and whether or not the Rangers are going to want to deal with that. And Quinn should have an answer about that, you know, sooner rather than later. I think that's something that the Rangers are going to go into this season with. I think like 5 years, $20 million is too much for Tony DeAngelo. But the flip side is the only way to get it, like DeAngelo right now is a point per every other game player. And that speaks volumes too as a 23-year-old on this team who, you know, it's been a back and forth nonsense. Pionk, I'm not going anywhere near long term at all. Unless you can get him for like a 5 year $7 million a year or deal. Honestly, that's about as high as I go for him, and there's no way he's signing that. There's just too much risk with Pionk.
Yeah, that's a tough call. There's so much to love
about. And I'm even uncomfortable with the DeAngelo extension.
Yeah, there's so much love about D'Angelo's game and so many reasons why you probably don't want to go long-term with him. Based on, even if we just say we erase what happened with him in juniors and we erase, you know, some of those maturity issues, they are still around, Joe. They still kind of persist. And that in and of itself is enough. It's enough to give us pause on, you know, what happens with him in the next 2 years of his career. And that doesn't mean he's not going to be a very valuable defenseman. I mean, on the flagship show, we talked about how great his zone entry stats are right up there. They're truly elite with Corey Schneider's zone entry, zone exit, and the defensive of controlled zone entry stats that he does that CJ Chitturo did the visualizations on. Like, he's a real talent. He's a really unique player, and he's outstanding on the power play. And you watch him play and you say to yourself, this kid can be great. He can be a special NHL player. But those problems in terms of maturity and what he and how he approaches the game, being a professional, we're not just talking about, you know, I feel like this is important to say. It's not just that he has political views that might not align with some Rangers fans.
This is far more than
this,
that.
This goes well beyond that. We're talking about being a professional athlete and acting in a way that a professional athlete should act. And that is things like engaging with fans on Twitter, which is just, it's just a stupid thing to do.
And did come to an end immediately after, though.
Yeah, it did. But
that was the last tier incident that ended immediately.
The fact that it had to happen was a red flag. The fact that we've seen him be, you know, held out of the lineup because of maturity issues, that, you know, David Quinn has even cited that it's a maturity thing, that has happened this season, I think should tell us a lot. It really should tell us a lot about why we need to take it's an overwhelming success with D'Angelo in terms of the way he seized his opportunity this year. Because, of course, last season he had the opportunity to be in the lineup and then he got hurt. Remember how shitty that was? Just, you know, it's like, oh God, this kid needed this chance.
And he was playing well. And you really have to wonder, and it's this very similar situation to Hayek. You wonder where he would have been at the beginning of this year if he got those, if he continued and finished out the year playing that up and up hockey that he was.
Yeah, that's a good point to raise with Hayek. But yeah, I would not go long term on him yet. I would put a cap on it at around 3 years, just based on what happens with. Based on what happens with Vegas, with Seattle, the expansion draft, and what happens in terms of how many contracts are on the books, but like, if you can get him dirt cheap, I don't know, but you have to be really careful with any sort of extension with D'Angelo.
Yeah, D'Angelo, I would think about just because there's so much talent there, and if you sign D'Angelo to a bridge deal, and he really is that 45-point defenseman that he's kind of showing he can be this year. A 3-year $15 million deal looks like the steal of a, or a 5-year $15 million deal looks like the steal of a century. It's just a matter of, you know, him turning into that player. NYR on the rise. Why does Hartford suck so badly? Rumors about bad culture, isn't that a major issue? It is. I don't know why they're so bad. Adam wrote a very long form story on it a couple of weeks ago that I would recommend you give a read that kind of goes into detail. But Mike and I can't answer that specifically because we just don't know why it's so terrible. He has a second question, though. Which prospect, aside from Krovstov, are you most excited about? And for me, it is hands down K'Andre Miller. Absolutely dominating in the NCAA this year, and just a full-on, I can't be more excited about K'Andre Miller. Michael?
I feel like I would say K'Andre if we just saw a little bit more from him at the World Juniors, but that's not his fault because he was used on that third pair and he was sick and he was on his offside. So that's not really on him. So I'm going to say Shesterkin. Given what we've seen in terms of the numbers he's put up, and again, we had a great podcast with Nick Mercadante, and we talked about how
the pizza boy,
that sweet, sweet pizza boy of ours, and we talked about how special Shesterkin's numbers are and how great his season has been. You know, a really record-setting season in so many ways, and he's so young, but he's playing behind a freaking Harlem Globetrotters team and compared to the rest of the KHL.
Aggressive.
And so it makes evaluating him very hard. And like, this is something I have a lot of experience with, like looking, because I spend a lot of time looking really closely at women's hockey professional numbers. And there is that kind of problem with parity at times in those leagues compared to what we might see in the NHL. And, you know, you'll see a team that just so good at puck possession and so good at the offense just has the puck all game. And, you know, goaltenders don't have to make as many saves. And the shots they do face are low-quality scoring chances. And then you have to ask yourself, you know, how do we measure that compared to the rest of the league and their peers and those goalies who face literally 10 more shots against per game per 60 minutes? And it's tough, man. It's tough. But with that being said, Shesterkin is still... I can't help but be excited because I feel like a big question that just no one likes to think about this question, Joe, but there's going to be someone after Hank. Eventually the Hank ride's going to come to an end. No one wants to think about it or talk about it, but we're already starting to see it in terms of the timeshare that we've seen post-deadline with him and Georgiev, which I think is the right thing. But and let me say this. I love K'Andre Miller. But I think Shesterkin is just
K'Andre Miller. Yeah, Shesterkin is probably the highest end prospect the Rangers have in their system right now, just because of how goddamn.
And obviously, Krovstov, as the question, you know, person who asked her question pointed out, he's so fun.
Like, he is fun. Alex Khalifa, I realize that he's a pending RFA, but what do you make of D'Angelo's future with this team? I think he's played his way into a top four role next year, assuming there's no off-ice incident. I will assume, Michael, you're in agreement with me on that one. A sweet,
he's,
sweet.
He's got to be, right? I mean, the way he's played, I would be shocked if Gorton made the same mistake he made this offseason that he made last offseason with the trade for McQuaid. I almost don't even feel like bringing it up because it feels like summoning some unspoken evil. But holy hell, was that a big mistake? And looking at, you know, the in my opinion, maybe the best move he made in that offseason, I mean, granted, it wasn't a lot, but the signing of Friedrich Claesson was great, even though it had helped kind of perpetuate that logjam. But, you know, there's got to be room for Tony D'Angelo. There has to be.
He's that good, and he's that good on the Rangers now. Like, imagine him without the absolute disaster that is the New York Rangers, just tire fire of a defense.
We're doing the show during the Rangers Oilers game.
It's 1-0, I believe.
And
I believe McDavid just scored.
Well, now it's 2-0, but Cassian smacked Georgiev in the helmet for a goal.
Oh boy.
And my girlfriend just threw her moisturizer at the TV screen.
Out of anger.
Which I can't endorse as a good decision.
No. But both you're ruining the moisturizer and potentially breaking the television.
Breaking the TV. But
although I kind of want that goal to count because losing to Edmonton in regulation will be huge for the tank. Terminally chill. This is a very important question. Is Wizardy still alive? Just checking in on him. Not only is he alive, my friend. I am looking at him right now. His tank needs to be cleaned. He stinks, but he's good. He ate this morning. I fed him. He is alive and well, and just a magical 23-year-old frog. 24-year-old frog now at this point? I don't know. I got him when I was 7. I am 30. He's 23. David L. Singer, assuming Hayek resumes his recent form in the NHL training camp next year, what do you see as the Rangers' 6D? P.S. The podcast is fire. Thank you, David Singer.
Fire?
Fucking fire. I don't know. Again, a lot of it, if the Rangers don't bring back Claesson, who I think is a restricted free agent, actually. Let me do some terrible podcasting and flip myself over to Cap Friendly where I figure this information out.
Yeah, he is
out.
An RFA. You're right.
So the Rangers have him, Hayek, D'Angelo, and Pionk as restricted free agents. And then they have four more signed defensemen in Shattenkirk, Stahl, Shea, and Smith. You would assume they're re-signing D'Angelo. Hayek is signed. He's an RFA in 21-22. But I don't know. Do they let Claesson walk? I have no idea. My ideal defense next year, if you're really trying not to like bring in a Carlson or whatnot, is Kevin Shattenkirk, Frederick Claesson, Anthony D'Angelo, Brady Shea, Brendan Smith, and Lieber Hayek. And Mark Stahl can be the 7D slash, you know, bench candidate. That's my defense. And I'm trading high on Neil Pionk. So
I would trade high on Pionk too, yeah, for absolutely. Sure. That's I feel like I agree with you. You said before it feels like we have a very good idea of what he is. He's the sort of guy you might want to move. And I feel like that might be controversial because the Rangers are putting so much emphasis on this blue line and developing the blue line. You know, finding those D, you know, we saw how many D they drafted, you know, last year, and we saw them pick up a couple of D at the deadline last year, you know, and Rykov and Hayek, but, boy, Joe, like, there's not even room for Gilmore on this team. Why is there room for Pionk?
There can't be. There can be no room. I mean, Pionk, look, I'm not trying to be an asshole to the guy. It's just not. It's not in the cards. Jason Silberman, goalie situation. Georgiev heading into the final year of his contract and an RFA in 2020. Hank, the starter for two more years. Husker just signed to an entry-level contract. Tyler Wall has one more year left to college. Lindbrom is a high draft pick. Do the Rangers have doubts about just Yorkim? No, I just think you can't have enough goaltenders in the pipeline because goaltenders are voodoo and you have no idea who will and will not work out. I mean, it's just, look at how many goaltenders are drafted in the mid rounds of a draft and are very good goaltenders. You just don't know. I don't think this has anything to do with Shesterkin. Mike, do you have anything you want to throw in there? Or?
Well, Huska to me is so interesting. I feel like the Rangers signed him in many ways to be a kind of Georgiev light in terms of they want to just see what they really have and test him at the AHL level, because this season was his worst in terms of his NCAA career, right? His NCAA career at UConn. And he lost his starting gig to the Nashville Predators prospect in net. He's a Czech kid. What is his name? It's Thomas Vomaka, I think. And that was... That's obviously not good to lose your starting gig to someone who's, you know, a freshman, really. And, you know, I think Vomaka was like a fifth-round pick. And that is... Those are red flags to me, Joe. But, you know, like Huska before the season had pretty good numbers. And up until around November, he had good numbers. And like you said, you... Especially the Rangers, they kind of have a knack for doing this. They want to develop and, you know, just kind of figure out as many goaltenders as they can. It's not a bad idea. I mean, like even like finding someone thinking outside the box with the Marek Mazanek signing, he only brought back a seventh-round pick at this year's draft. But honestly, if the Wolfpack were a slightly better team, he might have brought back maybe a slightly higher round pick, even though, you know, that's just like a team just trying to bolster its AHL team. You know, I don't know what to think of the Huska signing. It was definitely interesting to me, but it's...
Well, he lost his starting gig in UConn, and that's a tough situation. He was dominant last year. Adam, you know, was really the prospect expert, kind of watched a few games, and he's had a rough season so far this year, but we'll see. Again, goalies are voodoo. You don't fucking know. They're voodoo.
It's very, very hard to look at, you know, the way a 21-year-old kid, because that's how old Huska is, and, you know, he's 6'3", he's a big goalie, he's Slovakian, he was a 7th-round pick, so the fact that he has played well enough to even be considered for a contract is a success. Even if he never makes it to the NHL, and he becomes an NHL-level goaltender, you call this a success for a 7th-round pick. You have to, right? Like, you hope you can find someone who can do that. Like, you hope you get an NHLer out of every pick, but if you get your AHL-level goaltender for 3 or 4 years with a 7th-round pick, it's not bad. It's really not that bad.
Yeah, it's totally fine.
Last year, as you pointed out, he had a .912 save. The year before, 2016-17, he had a .916 save at UConn, and this year an .896. So, you know, maybe he's the de facto starter, or maybe the backup in Hartford next season with Shestyorkin there or Georgiev or whatever the hell happens. But that's going to be... It's going to be interesting, buddy, to see what happens there. And, you know, I'm not sure this has anything to do with Shestorkin. This just has more to do with the Rangers maybe preferring to develop goalies as opposed to finding those Tokarskis
and Mazaniks,
right? You'd rather develop those goalies and see what you can find rather than get it to Tokarski or Mazanek and know what you have with them when they're 26, 28 years old.
100%. Panero in 2020, hey Joe and Mike, with Hayek likely out the rest of the season, which Rangers defenseman in Hartford do we see getting called up next? Is it Gilmore? Do we see another one of the kids? I'm going to say no one, because the Rangers still have 7 defensemen this year, so there's no need to call somebody else up. Although they had 8 defensemen up when Hayek was up. So if they do, I would bet it's Lindgren just because of the stigma of that trade, but maybe Gilmore. But I think the Rangers are done with Gilmore at this point, I would have to say. Michael, anything you want to add on that?
I mean, Gilmore is the guy who's earned it.
Yeah, but he's also 25, and they obviously don't think that highly of him.
Yeah, and you know what? And the other thing with Gilmore, he's earned it, but he's also a UFA. And that, I think, is something that isn't mentioned enough. Whereas Bigras is an RFA, and I feel like the way he played earlier in the season, he kind of deserved that call-up. But both Gilmore and O'Gara... but honestly, I feel like it would be Lindgren, just because of what we've seen from this team thus far and the MO of Gorton and what happens in terms of the sort of players they want to give those opportunities to. If it was me and if it was my choice, I might want to take another look at Chris Bigras before Ryan Lindgren, but that's just me. And I'm much higher on Bigras than most people. He's 24. He's not an NHL-level defenseman, but I think he's interesting. Just because of what he was able to do early in the season. We know that Julius Bergman's a goner. Darren Radish is the guy they picked up in that Peter Holland trade. Maybe it'll be Radish. Maybe give him a little cup of coffee. Or maybe Sean Day, even Joe, who started in the ECHL. The season definitely didn't start the way we wanted it to for Day, even though he's 21. And he's back in the AHL now, and he's been picking up some goals and some points, and that's good news for him. So we'll have to see what happens. Maybe Joey Keane. That would be fun, right?
A little bit of Joey Keane action, yeah.
I'd be happy to see some Joey Keane get a little cup of coffee, a little taste-a-roo.
G.C. Lester, do you think the summer will be the beginning of the upswing for the Rangers? Gordon, I believe, stated they feel they finally have the young pieces they need and are now going to spend. Tell you what, and this is the be-all, end-all answer on this one. Not even going to let Mike answer this one. This will be the start of this will be an upswing for the New York Rangers if they make the right decisions this summer. That's the answer to that question. The Rangers can tank this rebuild, or the Rangers can make this rebuild, you know, move the way that they want to. There's an insinuation about them, quote-unquote, speeding it up. I think that would be a disaster, depending on what it is that they're looking to do. But, yeah, that's the be-all, end-all on that one. Chris Lalikata, with Georgia taking most of the starts versus the better teams and Hank getting most of the starts versus the non-playoff teams of late. Is this something that is telling for the future goalie situation with Igor possibly coming over, Hank taking a backseat, or Georgiev getting a test? Hank's not taking a backseat. This is like when Shesterkin comes over, he's going to go to the AHL because he needs time to adjust to North American hockey, and he's going to be in for a very rude awakening when he's not.
But you
not.
Know what? I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of the next season, if Igor and Hank are truly 50-50.
Oh, you think Georgiev's not even part of the equation at that point next year?
I don't know. It's so interesting to see what will happen there. Because he's exceeded every expectation to me. Like, the fact that the Rangers found someone like him and he's been able to contribute the way that he has. And I was telling someone today, like, what's up with Georgiev? And I said, like, here's the thing. He's a very solid goaltender, like at least backup level at the NHL level, but he's 23. And the other thing that's so important to say about him is he's capable of, he puts up these outstanding performances more often than any backup you'll ever see because there is more to him, right? He has a higher ceiling than what we've seen from him now. And again, goalies take a little longer to develop. He's 23. And this is a kid who was, you know, outside the draft, an undrafted guy. He's just so intriguing to me. And, like, for that reason, it almost makes me nervous to trade him, Joe. You know what I mean?
Got to take risks, Mike.
You got to take risks.
Got to be a fucking risk taker. Shayna!
Swap him for a different type of prospect. You swap him for, you know, a winger. I don't know. But holy hell. Let me make this clear. I'm full on the Igor train. I love Shesterkin.
Igor.
And I think he is much higher ceiling, and he's better right now than Georgiev. But Georgiev is not a bad goaltender, and he would not be a bad goaltender to have as your 1B or your backup moving forward. You'd be lucky to have it. It just, you have Hank around, and he's still Hank.
This is a rapid fire. I need you to just answer the first. I'm going to read a question to you. You just say the first thing that comes to mind.
All right.
This is from Shayna. Who would you rather see play on the fourth line, Pionk or Smith?
Ooh.
You're already not.
Pionk.
Okay. My answer to that, Smith. Who would you rather be on the first power play unit for the rest of the season, D'Angelo or Shattenkirk?
Shattenkirk.
D'Angelo, what the fuck is wrong with you?
It's the right thing to do is to trade Shattenkirk. So you
Mike,
up his value.
Who would you rather eat ring pops with, Shayna or me?
Shayna, 100%, 110%. She'll enjoy them.
I don't even want to talk to you right now, but I have to legally.
Do you even like
contract.
Ring pops?
I fucking love ring pops.
There's no way you love ring pops.
I swear to God, I love ring pops
more than Shayna.
Well, no, Shayna. Like, I haven't had a ring pop probably in a few months. I'm sure Shayna had one this morning.
Well, then you're full of shit.
Well, not full of shit, Michael. I gave up sugar for Lent. So how does that sound? Now you feel bad, don't you?
You just had to bring God into this.
I didn't bring God. I brought Lent and Jesus. Let me talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus crazy.
Vintendo, do you think there is a significant reason why the Rangers have called up players like Hayek, Gilmore, and Lindgren, but not players like Ronin, Gilmore, or Meskinen? Yeah, because, I mean, ultimately... Let's go down the list.
Both of those groups?
Gilmore, I don't think, has a New York Rangers future, right? We agree with that?
Yeah, he's a pending UFA. He's 25.
He gone. Ronin got sent to the ECHL this year. Ronin wasn't even good enough for the AHL at one point.
Yeah.
And Meskinen he needs this time to learn.
The bottom line with Meskinen is that if the Rangers found a bottom six winger in Meskinen at the NHL level, it would be a grand slam.
Grand fucking slam.
He's not there yet. Right now,
he's getting a ring pop with Joe.
He's like a second line AHL level guy who's still learning that game, and you know, at the North American game, because obviously he was, you know, playing in the Liga last year. His numbers have looked good compared to what else is in Hartford, but what else was in Hartford, Joe? Nothing. Like, you know, for most of the, like, Lettieri is probably the best forward left on that team now that Holland's gone. So it doesn't say a lot that he's the best looking forward on the team. He's also not a kid. That's the other thing to remember with Meskinen. And I really applaud the Meskinen signing and, you know, the way that, you know, Gorton thought outside the box. But he's 23. You know, he has to adjust to that game, the North American game, and that's not going to happen. It's going to take some
Okay. It's going to take some time. Next question. Paulie from NYC. I don't know why I totally dyslexic.
Paulie from NYC.
And didn't know what it was. Does it worry anybody that Pionk may get a big contract or has his play guaranteed it's a team-friendly deal? I'm fucking terrified that Pionk is going to get like a 5-year, $20 million contract.
There's no way in hell that's going to happen.
I'm not saying it's likely. I'm just saying I'm terrified. So that's my answer. I think in the end it will be more of a team-friendly deal. Over Macho Grande, what is your overall assessment of Buchnevich as a Ranger? Do you see him as having 30-goal potential? I don't know if I ever saw Buchnevich with 30-goal potential. He was never really a goal scorer, even in the KHL. But I think Buchnevich is playing his best hockey as a New York Ranger. I think David Quinn has kind of reached that level of the game that we've been waiting for, and he's outright dominated games this year, and that really more of late than, you know, in the beginning of the year, and I think that says a lot about where he's come to this point. I think he's been great.
He has, Michael, to me, he has the skill to hit a 30-goal season at some point in his career. I just don't think it's going to happen anytime soon.
Okay, we're going rapid fire.
No, to me, if he's a guy who's the trigger man on a power play, which he can be, and we've seen him at times step into a role that's similar to that, yeah, he could hit 30. Like, if he had, like...
He very well could.
He could hit 8 or 9 power play goals in a season, for sure, right?
Like, the man was wearing a fucking USA jersey for...
Oh, man, that was fun.
For Brown, yeah. BR3TT. All right, here's the one you've been waiting for. Joe's a Jedi Master. Mike is a Master Wizard. You both come into combat. What happens next? Are we fighting each other in this instance?
We would just talk shop.
I think we would have to talk
robes. We both wear robes.
I have a lightsaber that I am
there's
using
different
to
colored
cut a
lightsabers.
Hole in the floor.
There's different sorts of wands. I'd be like, oh, what made you choose that? What else would we talk about?
I don't know. You hear my daughter just yelling up there?
Yeah, she's adorable.
I don't know. See, I hear a lot of that stuff in the microphone. I don't know if you guys will hear it. Oftentimes, I hear things and I'm like, oh, God, everybody's going to be wondering what's going on right now, and then none of you hear it. So if you can't hear her, okay. Yeah, Brett, I don't think we would fight, Brett, because we love each other. Mark DelFranco. Reset the rebuilding process for me after the deadline. Will Keandre Miller / Kravtsov be on the team next year? Are the Rangers a year away from playoff contention or more? I will say that Kravtsov will 100% be on the team. Miller will not.
That's exactly where I stand. Yeah.
Are the Rangers a year away from playoff contention? Probably. They're probably really.
I say two.
I'm going to say two as well. And now we're talking playoff contention. We're not talking Stanley Cup contention.
Two with a big old asterisk, and that asterisk is next to an equal sign that says it depends on the free agency class of this year. If it's Panarin, then the timeline is dramatically accelerated, and the expectations are dramatically different. If they choose to stick with what's in-house, then it's going to be 2-3 years. It's going to be tough, bud. I understand that we want this team to be a competitor again sooner rather than later, but you can't rush this. And the important thing to remember is at this deadline, they got back Brendan Lemieux. They didn't get back other prospects who will be more ready to make an impact. And the other thing is, like, I don't know, the Islanders are just really interesting. There's a lot of teams in the Metro who I you know, thankfully, you know, the train in Pittsburgh is not going to last forever. And you could project the same thing for Washington, but I don't see their decline coming as like a catastrophic end in the next year or two. I think they're just going to linger around. This is not an easy division. Carolina is up and coming. Columbus, I feel like we don't know what the hell's going to happen with Columbus, right? With Panarin, Bobrovsky fucking shipping off. I mean, that's just brutal.
Okay. I would agree with all of that.
No, but yeah, I mean that it's valid for trying to figure out what the Rangers are.
Yeah, the Rangers, they should have there should be no surprises about what they are. They're not making the playoffs next year, more than likely. They may make the playoffs the year after that, but it would depend on a lot of things, a lot of their prospects being very more NHL ready and just a lot going on. Dan Carozzi, would you be for or against getting rid of daylight savings time? It's a good one. I think I would be for it. There's no real need for it.
Fucking get rid of it. We ain't got no crops.
That's true. We don't have crops. Hockey related, do you think Hank is on his last contract?
Oh, hell yeah.
100%. Yeah, he's absolutely. He's not
a clean hundo on that one. He's not clean. There's no other contracts coming here.
Motherfucking penis. Sean Carlson, do you think the Rangers completely move on from Hank in 2 years, or should they entertain the idea of extending him? No, he's gone. His number will go up in the rafters, and it will be all nice and fun. Zach Korbluth, does a Shattenkirk buyout make sense this summer, assuming we can't deal him? No, under no circumstance is a Shattenkirk buyout even remotely possible.
It doesn't make sense.
The Rangers may do it. It's probably very dumb.
It would be a costly mistake, especially for a guy who still has value. To pretend that Shattenkirk doesn't have value for a team, especially when you consider, like, all right, well, let's say the Rangers can retain a percentage of salary that would roughly equal what his cap hit is if you bought him out, and still bring back assets in a trade, which I think that reality is very realistic. Like, truly, really realistic. That has to be out there. There has to be a team willing to do it, especially teams that might not have a lot of luck wooing free agents. Like, fucking any team. Like, think about Columbus. Like, wouldn't, if they lost a lot of talent, wouldn't they be really intrigued by that? It's like, oh, yeah, Kevin Shattenkirk on the second pair?
Yeah, you'd have to. You'd like, assume that there would be something like it.
Yeah, there will be suitors. It has to be there. Especially because I know that, like, the thing that people can't escape with Shattenkirk is $6.65 million on the cap for the next two seasons after this one, and he's 30. But as we talked about in the flagship, he's still an effective NHL level defenseman. He has a lot of bad luck, and he was playing hurt all of last season. So what are we really talking about here?
Penis.
Mike's getting upset, Joe.
Anthony McHale. Is it just me, or has Fast looked invisible for most of the season? Do you think he's part of the Rangers' future, or will he be traded by next year's deadline? I think he's my dark horse to be traded.
I feel like Jesper's been playing hurt all season.
Discussed on the flagship, he has been playing hurt. But that's the reality is, like, if you don't notice Fast, he's probably doing his job.
That's kind of the thing with him. He's just a third-line winger. I mean, last season it was fun because he had 13 goals, and I was like, holy hell, Jesper. You know, can you go higher than that? And, you know, not really.
No.
And that's fine. I mean, he's a 30-point winger. That's kind of what Jesper Fast is, but his real value is he's a guy who's going to give you that really high-energy shift and kill penalties, and he'll be a guy you can be excited about for a shift as a coach, and then you put out the more skilled players on your top two lines. But, I feel like he might be a great depth piece for a team that has those cup aspirations or those deep playoff runs in mind as a guy who you want on your fourth line. But for a team like the Rangers who, you know, are trying to figure out what they have, Joe, you could definitely make a strong point, like a strong case, and say you'd be better off giving someone, like, just a random example, but someone like a Vinny Lettieri, just to see what you might find in him. Like, can he be an NHL player? And you won't really know that until you give him a chance in the NHL, which means that Jesper Fast is a dark horse pick for a guy to be traded is really intriguing to me. I just don't know what the hell you'd get from, if anything. Like, what the hell would, like, a fifth round pick? I mean, you don't turn your nose up at anything, but I don't know. It's tough. I mean, I can see both cases where he just kind of lingers around, and I can also see maybe the Rangers decide to move on from him, or, you know. But again, he's a UFA after next year. I really don't think the Rangers will re-sign him after that.
Tyler McGillick. With Rangers management hinting free agency is a big part of their plan this coming offseason, other than Panarin, what kinds of players would make the most sense to target? It's either one-year solutions or possibly flip or as long-term pieces into the next contention window. I don't think, aside from Panarin, there's anybody that I touch long-term. Would you agree with that, Michael? I think that's a pretty standard.
Yeah, I mean, the other name that always comes up is Carlson.
Right,
Carlson.
And he's on half an ankle.
I mean, Jeff Skinner is really interesting.
Kevin Hayes.
I would definitely sniff it. Skinner, I think the bridge is probably burned with Hazy, as much as it pains me to admit it. But, like, I think you have to sniff at Jeff Skinner. He's only 26. I mean, I do think you're going to have a hard time giving him the same sort of offer that he'll get elsewhere, though. And, you know, he's played a lot of seasons on teams that don't get very far. I feel like he's going to want to go to a true contender. That's just my opinion. I don't know. Yeah, that's tough, but I agree with you, Joe. There's not a lot after that. Like, it's really important for a team in the Rangers' position to not invest in the wrong guy. You know, it's a lesson we see learned the hard way across the league. I mean, you look at how many bad contracts we see. And, I mean, we're talking about a team that just 2 years ago, they signed Kevin Shattenkirk, and people are already talking about buying the guy out. I mean, not how much has the team improved since then? You have to be really careful with how you spend your money. And Panarin is the guy you do spend your money on because he is that good. I feel like Jeff Skinner you can make a strong case for. Erik Karlsson, I understand the temptation. I really and truly do. But the injury problems that have only really, in my opinion, amplified this season, the concerns about how he can stay healthy, you don't want to get in a seven-year contract with Erik Karlsson. The first 2 or 3 years of that are going to go great.
And then it's a damn disaster.
And then it's a goddamn disaster.
All right, Mike, rapid fire on this one.
Rapid fire.
Josh Sarkin. Since Huska signed with the Rangers, I feel like now is the time to ask, how do you think Boomer the Bobcat would fare against Jonathan the Husky in a fight? I will not sit here.
Huskies are larger than Bobcats.
I will not condone dog violence.
The Husky wins.
Boomer would fuck up the Husky.
No,
Boomer would fuck up. He has fucking claws. He would scratch the shit out of the Husky.
Not only do Huskies have claws, they're
not sharp like a Bobcat.
You know what? Hold on. You might have a point here. We're talking about a domesticated dog breed versus a wild cat.
I'm talking about a fucking Bobcat.
I feel like if the Bobcat gets the jump on the Husky, the Bobcat wins. But if it's just they're both prepared for the battle, the Husky's going to win. And that is the correct answer. I watched a lot of Animal Planet as a young boy.
The Bobcat wins. Matt Schneider. Who has a better chance against the dragon, Gandalf or Dumbledore? Does Gandalf having a sword give him a big advantage?
So
I'm going to say Dumbledore, though.
Gandalf was practically a demigod in Tolkien's universe. With that being said, the degree of magic that Dumbledore displayed was far greater than what we saw from Gandalf in Tolkien lore. Therefore, Dumbledore would almost certainly just dispatch with the dragon as if he was just falling asleep at the job. Whereas, like, we heard Gandalf talk about Smaug with, like, fear and dread in his voice. He was terrified of Smaug. Whereas Dumbledore was just like, oh yeah, whatever, fucking, they're gonna have a bunch of dragons show up at a school for a tournament. I don't give a shit.
Bitches. Adam Klein, who finishes the show sitting on the Iron Throne? Is this about you and me, or is this about Game of Thrones?
I feel like we end up spooning on the Iron Throne.
Yeah, we just spoon and cuddle together on the Iron Throne.
Yeah, there's room for two.
Bob Doda. What Rangers team was the best in the 2010s, and can you pinpoint a moment when the window closed? I mean, I had the most fun with the 2014 team. I'm sure you did as well. That's an easy answer, because they made it to the Stanley Cup. Pinpoint the moment when the window closed, when they fucking, the summer of 2014 is when it started closing. I think it closed after they lost to the Tampa Bay Lightning in Game 7, though, and the Rangers.
When this team gave up on Blair Betts and signed Donald Brashear, that was the end.
Well, there was a lot of success after that.
Don't talk to me about like anything.
A significant amount of success. Maybe the
that's
most successful.
That's when they sold their souls.
Yeah, but that's not even the same group of people that put together this. The fucking. Well, I guess it was the team that put together the 2014 team.
It just has been too many shows since I talked about Blair Betts.
And Donald
remember
Brashear.
Blair Betts? He was really fine.
I do. Final question, Fish Jesus. What is a realistic outlook of the Rangers' position heading into the draft? Where do they pick?
That's a good question.
They probably pick eighth.
Yeah, that's what I was literally about to say. That I feel like you hope
who's on
for
the board?
Higher. You hope for higher, but you pick at eight, right? And who's on the board at eight?
Who's on the board? No, that's what you said when we talked about the draft last year. Saying, who's on the board? Yeah. I feel like a prospect that doesn't get that much attention is Niles Lundqvist. When do you see him coming over? What kind of player do you hope he becomes? I hope he becomes Erik Karlsson. He's probably at least 2 years away.
That's a fucking outrageous statement.
I hope he becomes Erik Karlsson. What's outrageous about
that? I hope
he
becomes Dumbledore. That doesn't mean it's going to fucking happen.
Well, no, but he asked, you know, what kind of player do you hope he becomes? I fucking hope he becomes Erik Karlsson.
Well, I hope every player becomes Mario Lemieux.
Yeah, of course. Well, why wouldn't you pick Gretzky?
If we're talking about per game.
Don't fucking do this, Michael.
You want to do this at the end of this fucking show? Talk about Gretzky versus Lemieux?
I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this.
You want to talk about the way that shitty 1980s goalies looked against Gretzky? You want to do that shit?
I don't want to
do this. They look like little like toddlers with pads.
This is just like when you put Mark Messier at the wing because you thought you could win games.
I'll have you know, I was reading something. They had Gretzky at the wing and Messier at center in New York for a brief time. So you can go shut your filthy fucking mouth.
Here we go. Here it is. Here come the waterworks, ladies and gentlemen.
You can move any center to wing if you want to make an elite lineup.
Here it is.
We love you all. I am crying right now. I am crying, really crying.
Johnny Moore, take us away.